Dave Moore on Today FM.
Aloha.
The Whitmore. That's all I think about when I see you. It's just, your Instagram handle jumps out at me. How are you?
I'm all right. How are you, Dave? The Moore.
Yeah. How have you been? It's been, like, I saw you in studio probably, I was nearly a year ago, I'd say, was it?
I think it was last summer. Yeah, I was back home in Ireland.
Yeah.
Last summer. Oh my God, the year's gone by fast.
We need to talk about this play you're doing because I'm fascinated to see how a book like this is translated onto the stage. So to anyone who hasn't either read the book or even heard the premise of, would you explain The Girl on the Train?
Yeah, so it was this New York Times best-selling book about, I think it was around 2016, written by Paula Hawkins. And I remember my mother read it and my mom was like, you have to read this, Laura, you're going to love it. And I watch a lot of true crime. I love a thriller. I love a whodunit. I love a good storyline. I love twists. And I devoured it. I remember when I read it at the time. And then obviously there was a film version, which they set over in America. And now there's a stage adaptation. And you might think, how are you going to get a train?
That's exactly what I thought. Yeah.
You want to ask, how are they going to get a train on the stage? If I'm going to be honest with you, I would love to take all the credit for this, but it's an amazing production. The sound, the lighting, the whole design, Adam Loveday, the director, the whole team have created something really special, really visually spectacular. It's very minimalist. It's a lot of lighting. There's a lot of movement. People work for the money in this show. You know, I don't think I leave the stage for like 2 hours pretty much.
Really?
But it's a brilliant production, and I don't want to give too much away. I have to say you have to come and see it, but you do feel like you're part of it. And what Loveday, the director, has done, which is why I was so eager and so excited to take on this particular role, was because a lot of what you watch is what goes on inside our head. So we have Rachel, who I feel, I have to say this to you, last time I spoke to you, I was doing 222, which I
222, that's right.
Who had a drink problem. And here I am again, playing a woman with a drink problem. I like to say, I feel I'm being typecast now, Dave.
Yeah, it's unfair. It's completely inappropriate.
But this is a very, very different. The role, last role I played in Dublin was very glamorous. This is not glamorous. So we meet Rachel, who we're meeting her not in a very good way. Same with the book, the very start. Her memory is not great. She's still in love with her ex. He's moved on, new wife, new kid. And she does that thing which we all do. You do it. I used to get the dart from Bray into town, and
I used to get the dart from Port Marnock or Sutton was all the way in. Yeah.
Like sometimes you can see into people's gardens. You can have a little
yes
and see what's going on. So that's what Rachel does, and she sees something which is part of this police investigation and this missing woman, and it just all kind of spirals from there.
Right. I mean, look, as you said, New York bestseller. I mean, it's a book I know of. I've never read it, but I just, when I heard it, because I knew the idea of the story. So to hear that it was adapted for the stage, I was just intrigued to see how that's going to work. I know you can't give too much away, but did I see on your Instagram that there's something like a hamster wheel?
There is. So as I said, a lot of, not to give too much away, but a lot of it
sure
is what's going on inside her head. So even her other characters, things that she remember isn't exactly. What I love about this character is, although she's the protagonist, she's so flawed, but all humans right are flawed. And a lot of it is just seen through her head. So it's almost like her mind is all these different memories, and she's trying to, you know, use it as a jigsaw puzzle and putting it back together again. And the hamster wheel does, in many ways, we love theatre. It represents
we do, of course,
on her head. So that's fun to do every night.
I'd say so. I'd say you're fit. You've got to do a bit of warming up for that.
I haven't been to the gym in ages now. That's my workout
no
on stage. But that's the beauty. Do you know what? I'm really happy we're bringing this back to Dublin. I'll be honest with you. When I first got offered this role, it wasn't coming to Ireland. So it's
oh
okay. And I might have been like, we need to bring this back here.
Well, we thank you for that.
It's such a wonderful story, and I love theatre because it's, you actually have people watching something and not scrolling on their phone at the same time. You have their attention.
Yeah, fully engaged.
Yeah.
Well, actually, hilariously, my twin girls who are 10 have just ganged up on me with my wife, and we've gotten a hamster, a dwarf hamster. So the hamster wheel, I'm so familiar with that now because it's just every night, the hamster is nocturnal, the hamster gets up and the hamster has run in the wheel, and I'm like, I have to be up at 5:30, hamster.
We need to get you a life-size one, Dave. That's what you
need. It's a fitness regime I need.
I think for a lot of people who are parents and who feel like they're on a hamster wheel in life, it's a metaphor for life.
There's so many metaphors. So you play the girl on the train, right? But I want to know, would that be Laura's favourite mode of public transport? Or would you rather be the girl on the Lewis or the girl on the bus or the girl, because the double decker bus offers you more, you can peek into gardens even more.
Yeah, that's a very good idea.
Or the girl on transatlantic, like business class. There's lots of options here, Laura.
We need to do an Irish version where we call it the girl on the dart. That's what really. Yeah. The girl on the dart. And I'll tell you, I live in London now. I love public transport. My agent will tell you this. I have gone to the Brit Awards. I've gone to BAFTAs, full ball gown on the tube.
No way.
It's the quickest way to get there. And I hate traffic. My agent always laughs. I hate traffic. He's like, no, Laura, will full ball gown, full makeup, get her on the tube. Girl on the tube.
That's so good. I love it.
I love it. Brilliant. I love it. Girl on a bike. Sometimes I'll cycle if I have to.
I was going to say, yeah, the girl on those rented city bikes. Like, that's, you'll see an awful lot of things for cycling around on those, that's for sure. Laura, the play The Girl on the Train is coming to Cork first at the Everyman Theatre. Then it's going to the Borgosh Energy Theatre. Just talk Cork for a second. Like, obviously, you're a Leinster girl, like I'm a Leinster boy. But have you spent much time in Cork?
No, I haven't at all. Not since I was a kid. We went down towards Skibbereen Way in Shidoni on a little family, little holiday. I haven't been in Cork City itself, I think, since I was a kid. And
wow.
I had Siobhan McSweeney, the brilliant actress, is cornering me recently going, "You're going to Cork?" She was so excited. And she loves that place. She loves the Everyman. She loves Des and the team down there. So she was telling me great things. Another pal of mine, Imelda May, is doing a play there. And Eileen Walsh, I was speaking to recently, has just done a play there. So I hear great things. I haven't been, but I hear great things. So I'm very excited that I get to do Cork as well as Dublin this time. The last time I was there, I wasn't going out for a drink afterwards.
No, will be this you time. Weren't. Yeah, you were getting a lemonade before or whatever you did and then going to bed. And when you come back then to the Borgosh and you come back to Dublin, and like, I know you're a Wicklow girl, but does Dublin feel a bit like coming home?
Yeah, even there when I said to you, like, I've lived in London 15 years and I'll still say I'm coming home, which is mad. And now I'm very aware of, like, I try to choose jobs that kind of work for my lifestyle as well. I have a little four-year-old who I has an Irish passport and very much knows. I think we even say she's Irish, just an Irish.
Why not?
Twang, a little bit Scottish, yeah. a little bit London. I love it. And I feel I've got so many Irish friends over here. Like, most of Ireland probably aren't in Ireland, but we just get around. We just take
over. There's a lot more of us outside of Ireland, that's for sure, yeah.
Well, yeah, I do love. I love coming home whenever I can. I'm very lucky with the fact I live in London, which is only, you know, hop over the Irish Sea.
It's not Sydney or LA, yeah.
So I will, as much as possible, even if it's only back for a weekend. I do. I've always done that. Even since I first moved over for the MTV gig, I was always back and forth as much as possible.
People aside, your mum and like, you know, the people you love, what do you miss most about Ireland when you get the chance, or rather when you come back, what do you kind of feel like, oh, I'm home? Is there something you eat, or is there something you like, what is it?
Sorry, my dog has just come in here. Come on here.
Oh, is that Mick?
Mick, now don't laugh. Mick's had a haircut. It went okay.
Oh, Mick, he's even cuter than I thought he would be.
He's like 10 years old now. He'll be coming back to Ireland, by the way.
That's brilliant, Mick.
I know him from
the podcast, you see. So it's great to see him in real life.
You know, we just recorded some of that today as well. So what do I miss? I always laugh about this, but because I did a BBC cookery show recently with the brilliant Anna Hoff, and I was talking about chicken fillet rolls, and she was like, "What are you doing? I don't even eat chicken anymore." But I go into the I just love having a sandwich made. Like, here you have to go into Pret, and everything's pre-made.
I
want on my sandwich.
That's so, because you get up there and you get inspired. Like the other day, I went into one and I was kind of just going, probably going to get a chicken fillet roll. Ended up getting a white sandwich with torn chicken. And then I just went, "Do you have a salt sachet?" And she was like, "Yeah." And I was like, "Can I have half a salt sachet and some cheese?" Honestly, it was the best thing I've eaten in months.
Time to change. You know what I did recently? I was home. Put some wedges in it. And then all that salad bit had pineapple. I said, "Throw some pineapple in there too." Wild.
Outrageous.
It changed.
These are the opportunities.
You didn't have those options in Spar like 10 years ago. It's changed a bit.
I think when you were talking about 222 the last time you were in, I did make the confession that your other half and I, Ian, we kind of fell in love a bit the last time we talked.
He sends his love, by the way. He never.
Well, I was just wondering, does he ever mention me at all?
All the time. He's like, "Are you talking to Dave?" He's here at the moment. He's recording. Like, we have a studio in the house too. So our house, it's always loud noises coming from different rooms.
Yeah, brilliant.
He's actually going to be doing some gigs when we're back in Ireland as well. So
tell him I said hi.
He's a stand-up. He'll be doing some comedy gigs when we're.
That's what he needs to be doing. And the podcast Murder They Wrote is so good. I listen all the time. like, are you two still enjoying it in the same way you did when you began?
Yeah, it's kind of when we first got asked about doing a podcast, I'll be honest, we've always been cautious of being in a relationship together and both having a profile, and that we'd always kind of have our separate thing going on. When we got approached about doing a podcast, I was like, I don't want to do a couples podcast. And then they said, yeah, but what are you guys into? And I'm like, well, I'll tell you what we're into. What we do is watch a lot of true crime. My background's journalism, Ian's background's law, believe it or not. So we, you know, this is the type of things that we talk about. Ian will talk about how the law in Scotland is so different to down in England, and, you know, different ways that people can get off on different things. And we're watching a film and he'll start coming out with these facts.
Okay.
From my background, even within journalism, I love asking questions. I love the psychology of people and why people do what they do. I think that's even with the acting thing. I love character and breaking down, even if they don't seem on paper like a nice person. It's, well, why are they like that? And it's kind of hard to do that with some of these criminals, but I do.
Fair.
Ian goes mad because I love a backstory, so I'll go back to when they were five, and he's like, we don't need that much of a backstory.
This podcast can be any length, but this one does not need to be 8 hours.
It doesn't. Some of them we've had to have a few episodes, but it's been doing really well. And do you know what? It's a time to kind of, for us to kind of catch up, and it's not talking about a relationship. It's something outside of that. So for us, we're enjoying it. We said the day where we start arguing, we'd stop doing it.
That's an entirely different podcast, which would probably get even more listeners.
If we were smart, we'd do that.
Yeah, exactly. And look, you are doing so much acting nowadays, which is amazing because you're brilliant. But you don't have to choose, obviously. But if you were pressed and someone was said to you, like, look, would you pick acting over presenting for the rest of your career?
I think it depends on roles. Like I definitely find it very hard to sit still and do the same thing continuously. I always like a challenge, sometimes to my detriment. Sometimes I'm like, really, I could have an easier life if I just did this one show constantly, and I know it's safe and I know I can do it.
Well, listen, I cannot wait to see The Girl on the Train. It is in The Everyman in Cork, the 19th to the 23rd of August, 25th to the 30th of August. It'll be in the Portgosh Energy Theatre in Dublin. Laura, it's going to be brilliant to see it. I can't wait to see what it looks like on stage, especially the hamster wheel. But thanks so much for taking the time, and break a leg.
Thanks, Dave. Thank you so much.
Talk to you later.
Bye. See you soon.
Dave Moore on Today FM.